Welcome to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. In this message from Romans chapter 3, we encounter the breathtaking depth of God's grace. Though every one of us is guilty and broken by sin, God offers justification, redemption, and full atonement through Jesus Christ. Our guilt is gone, the price is paid, and God's justice is fully satisfied. Here is Pastor Gary Walton.
If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 3. John Bunyan, you may know, is the author of Pilgrim's Progress. Some other very significant religious writings attributes his conversion to these verses, Romans 3, 21 through 26. Donald Gray Barnhouse is a great current theologian, and he says, he wrote that he drew a great heart across these verses in his Bible and said that they constitute the heart of Romans, the heart of the New Testament, and the heart of the Word of God itself. His writing said, imagine the whole galaxy of revelation from our Father revolving around this single point, the ground zero of our spiritual universe. This little site in your Bible is the missing link between life and death, flesh and spirit, and every one of us must pass this spring and drink deeply if we're to understand who we are and how we may be rescued. Hey, listen, if these guys are right, then this morning, make no mistake about it, we are standing on holy ground. A very, very central, critical text that opens up the scriptures for us. And I think all of it is opened up by one little word in verse 24. I've got it circled in my Bible. It's the word grace. So we're going to read verses 21 through 26. Actually, before we do this, I know that we can't get this text unless we understand what happened before this. And so I want to give you just sort of a quick overview of Romans 1, 2, and 3, because that's going to help us understanding what's happening here in the last part of verse or chapter 3. In chapter 1, Paul is preaching a powerful sermon against the world and against wickedness. And if you read down through this verse, I mean, especially as we start getting into 21 and 22, 23 and following, we have this very powerful sermon against wickedness. And as you read through this, you kind of get this idea that all of us self-righteous types of people are saying, hey man, amen, Paul. I mean, go get them. I mean, identify that wickedness. And that's why chapter 2 begins with verse 1, and it says this, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. Right? So Paul is saying, man, you hypocrites, you have spent your time judging the sin of other people, and I want you to know with real clarity that we're all in the same boat in this regards to sin. In fact, this is something that we got to have real clear in our thinking. You've got a serious problem if you're consistently willing to judge the sins of everybody else and not willing to transparently look inside and view your own sin. I think that's exactly what the start of chapter 2 is talking about. If we're not willing to understand our own miserable failings with sin. And so that's what brings us to chapter 3. As is written, verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They've together become unprofitable. There's none that does good. No, not one, right? So, and we it just keeps going on, this identification. Hey, there's nobody out there that comes away from this thing clean. Don't be judging anybody else, because we've all deal with this same sin problem. That's sort of describing for us this total desperation of the sin situation. And here's the point. You and I will never understand grace until we understand the desperateness of the sin situation. This is really just working Romans 1, 2, and 3. This is exactly what the writer is describing here. This whole description of sin, and the idea is this: if we never understand the darkness of a world pervaded by sin, then we'll never truly be able to understand the brilliant light of the grace of God. So that's what brings us to chapter 3 and verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Grace is connected with three loaded words. I hoped this morning sort of blow you away kind of concepts. Justification, redemption, and propitiation. You say, oh my word, Pastor Gary, you're telling me we're going to talk about that this morning. And I'm saying, yes, we are. We're going to talk about justification, we're going to talk about redemption, and we're going to talk about propitiation. And the reason that we're going to talk about them is because they're key ideas in the scripture, and that's what we are here at Harvest. We're a Bible-loving, Bible-believing, Bible-understanding people of God. So we need to know, we need to understand. God put these words in his word in order for us to know some very important concepts. So we're going to try to work them out in a way. I hope by the time that we're done here, they're going to come alive to you. And that's my prayer. So grace is connected first with justification. Verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And what that means is this: you no longer bear the guilt of your sin. If you're taking notes, you no longer bear the guilt of your sin. Justification is a legal term, and it means these two words. It means declared righteous. It's a different word than forgiveness. So forgiveness is a relationship term. And that means sort of this idea, you did something to me, and that thing that you did, it's not going away. It's always going to be there. It can't be removed. But forgiveness means I will not allow it to affect our relationship any longer, all right? That's forgiveness. It's a relationship term. Justification, though, is connected with sort of a legal term. It's talking about our legal standing before God, your position before God. And it's like when you become a believer, you are given a legal paper, sort of a legal document. And on that document, it reads, declared righteous. The holder of this document will hereby be absolved of all his guilt. Absolutely, without exception, there's no more guilt writing on this person who owns this document. He is justified. The guilt is gone. And the end of verse 24 connects justification and redemption. We're going to talk about that in a minute, with the words in Christ Jesus. This is a very important picture, and I'm going to try to explain it to you like this. I brought a card with me this morning, and this card I've got all ripped up is going to represent your life. It's going to represent my life. And my Bible here this morning is going to represent Jesus Christ. So I don't know about you, but my guess is that your life is similar to my life. And I look down at my life and I find all kinds of things that have happened in my life that have caused, you know, a lot of rips and a lot of tears. I kind of tried to mess this card up as much as I can. There's a lot of things that I can look back on my life that disqualify me. They disqualify me from a relationship with a holy God, and they disqualify me from living forever with God in heaven, in this holy place. There have been in my life, there's, you know, things that I've done that have hurt me. There are things that I've done that have hurt other people. There's sin that's been, you know, a part of my life. And I look back on my life, and whether it's lies or gossip or cheating or whatever it is, whatever the thing is that you relate to, you know that these things have sort of messed up your life. And as God looks down at you in your own sinful self, these are the things that God sees that are part of all of us. This is the reason why there's no possibility. We've been disqualified from a relationship with a holy God. These are the reasons that we're disqualified from spending eternity in a holy place like heaven. But what the Bible says is that when we become believers, God takes our lives and He puts them in Jesus Christ. That's the picture. That's Romans 3:24. That we have become in Christ Jesus. And so when God looks at you as a believer, He no longer sees this list of the things that you're embarrassed about. If anybody knew some of the things that were part of your past, you'd be humiliated. All of these things that we dislike about our past, and sometimes even about some of the decisions we're making now, when God looks at us, He no longer sees them. All He sees is Jesus Christ. Not holding any longer the guilt and the pain and the destruction and the rips and the tears that have been a part of our lives. We are only now seen through and in Jesus Christ. That's exactly the word that it's talking about. God declares us righteous. He sees us in Christ Jesus. And listen, that is grace. That is grace, and you and I do not deserve it. If you look over at Romans chapter 5, just a couple pages over, verse 2 says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God." This is where I stand, is what Paul is saying. I'm not living my life overcome and consumed with the sin and the guilt of my past. And this standing means that it's a permanent thing. It's not something that comes and goes. I'm standing here and will always be. All right, that's just the beginning. Verse 24 says, goes on to say that not only is grace connected with justification, grace is connected with redemption. And what that means is this, that there was a price to be paid. Redeem has the idea of to buy back, to purchase, to, it's sort of the idea of, you might have heard, to redeem a coupon. You have a coupon that you're able to submit in order to purchase, to buy back something. That's redemption. So God is not asking you to pay for your ticket to heaven. There's no list of things that you have to accomplish in your life in order to get in. Sometimes I think some people feel that way. If I do enough things, or if I sort of weigh out enough good over enough bad, I can sort of get in to heaven. Redemption says that it's free, but you need to know that there was a great cost. There was a price to be paid. Redemption says don't forget about the cost. Peter says in one of his letters, he says that we've been redeemed not with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we're bought with this great price like a lamb. So justification means declared righteous, absolved from all sin. And we ask, well, how did that happen? And it happened by redemption. We're bought with a great price like a lamb. So we don't sit in a comfortable church setting or in your comfortable home sort of soaking in all the blessings of your relationship with God, and you're standing before Him and forget about the cross. We don't do that. Don't forget about the cost. And listen again, this is grace. And we do not deserve it. And then Romans says grace is connected with propitiation. And what that means is this: our sins have been transferred and the sacrifice is sufficient. Now hang in there with me. This in my mind is kind of the highlight of what we're talking about here this morning. This is very, very cool what God has to say about this propitiation word. It's probably the word that you're looking at and thinking, man, I kind of get the justification. That's sort of in my wheelhouse. I can come along with the redemption. But that word, I'm not sure at all what it means. I know it's $1 million word. I know that. But propitiation is one of the most powerful and profound words in the whole Bible. Here's the technical definition for you. It means the satisfaction of God's holy law. In fact, remember the word satisfaction. If you're taking your notes, maybe circle that word, write in the word sufficient, right? This is so great. It is sufficient. So the satisfaction of God's holy law, the meeting of its just demands, so that God can freely forgive those who come to Christ. All right, now, propitiation, verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Some of your translations might have the word atonement or sacrifice of atonement. It's the same word, and it's an important word. Listen to this. The Jewish Day of Atonement was one of the most important holidays or feasts in the Jewish calendar. You may have heard the term Yom Kippur. Ever heard that term? Jewish celebration of Yom Kippur. And it was a holy occasion. In fact, probably the holiest of all of the days of the year in the Jewish calendar, accompanied by great joy. And there's a reason. Let me tell you the reason. We learn about it in Leviticus chapter 16. We're not going to turn back there. But on the Day of Atonement, all the nation of Israel was to gather around the temple, and everybody was there, thousands and thousands of people, all camped out together over a period of time, and the highlight, the penultimate moment of the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, was everybody gathered around the temple. There were two goats that were presented at the altar. And one of these goats is chosen as a sacrifice. Before all the people, the high priest would kill that goat. And the blood of that goat would be sprinkled on the mercy seat as a sacrifice. That's what they called this, a sacrifice for atonement. But the second goat is the one that I want you to see. The priest was to put his hands on the head of the second goat. And I wish I had a goat here. I think the picture would come alive. But listen, with all the people watching, the priest would lay his hands on the head of this goat. And when he did that, he would confess all the sins of the people. You can read about this, Leviticus 16, verse 21. Symbolically, sort of putting all of the transgressions of all the sins on the head of this goat, and then that goat, rather than being sacrificed, that goat would be led out of the temple. It's interesting. I was just reading this morning the Leviticus 16 passage, and it says he should be led out of the temple by a fit man. All right, so because he's going to go a long ways. And he'd take that goat and he would lead him out of the temple and then be released out into the wilderness. And they called this goat the scapegoat or the Azazel. Do you want to know what a scapegoat is? You've maybe heard that term before. A scapegoat is one who is made to take the blame for another. And this is called the atonement, the propitiation. The sins of one were placed on another. And listen to this, and don't ever forget it. When the goat was taken away, the sins of the whole community went with it. And there was this great freedom and this great time of celebration. I mean, can you imagine being there? 1 John 2:2 says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, also for the sins of the whole world." Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And John the Baptist, the first time that we're introduced to Jesus Christ, John looks out and sees Jesus. And you remember what he says? He says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The atonement. The Azazel. The scapegoat, one who bears the blame for another. And listen to me, church, when Jesus Christ, God's Son, was raised up on that cross, the sins of all of the world, my sin, your sin, every person who's ever lived, the sins of all the world were placed on his forehead. The Azazel, the scapegoat, the one who would atone, the one who would provide propitiation. That's the word. Propitiation for our sins. So propitiation means our sins have been transferred and the sacrifice is sufficient. If you're a believer here this morning, I want you to know that your sins are gone. Your sins have left the building, right? They've gone out of the temple. They've followed along with the Lamb of the world out into the wilderness. They are gone. They are no longer held to your account. They are gone. They were laid on Jesus Christ. And just as you have watched that lamb leave the building, your sins have left the building. They have been placed on Jesus Christ. No more feeling guilty. No more being overwhelmed by your mistakes of your past. They're gone. And the propitiation is sufficient There's no need for you to beat yourself up about your past. No reason for you to feel enslaved over and over by our enemy to the things that have happened in our past. Jesus Christ, the one, was the atoning sacrifice. He's covered it all. He's taken the sin and he's taken it out of the camp. And this is grace. It's an incredible, indelible picture of God's amazing grace. And we do not deserve it. And if you're here this morning, and if you're not yet a Christian, then I understand the weight of the sin that you feel and the guilt of maybe some decisions in your past. I want you to know that God's Son, Jesus Christ, has provided and offers a forgiveness for all of your sin, all of the guilt, all of the weight. Jesus Christ offers propitiation to you. He is your Azazel. He is the one who is a scapegoat. And his desire is to take your sins, to remove them and place them outside of the camp. Some of you, perhaps this morning, have never put your life in Christ. You are not standing justified, as we talked about. You've not understood yet this grace that is sufficient. And I would invite you this morning, on the basis of God's word, by the calling of the Holy Spirit in your heart, maybe pounding in your heart even right now, to accept his forgiveness, to fall under the justification and the redemption that his offer has provided, and to give your life this morning to Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton. Pacific Hope is a production of Harvest Baptist Church and Harvest Family Radio. If you'd like to learn more about Harvest Baptist Church, visit hbcguam.org. To learn more about Harvest Family Radio or Pacific Hope, visit khmg.org. Harvest Ministries is located on Guam and exists to help people develop a heart for God. It is our hope that this message has played a part in doing just that. Again, thanks for listening to this episode of Pacific Hope.